This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled Moving Forward, Pastor Scott speaks about how we can move forward and gives three ways in which we can successfully move forward. This message was recorded on Sunday, December 27th, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, I hope you guys had a very, very blessed Christmas. I know I did. It just was a wonderful time to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And it's an attitude I believe that we get to keep with us always, that He came because of love. You know, we're done with Christmas. We're moving in to the new year. And like always, man, as I got older, the time just goes by so much faster. Somebody said it's because I'm going downhill already. And the momentum is just picking up, man. And you're going, and you know, you blink an eye and the year is gone. It's like, wow, what happened? And we reflect, we look back, and the good things, not so good things, the trials, the things we learned. This year was a good year for me. This year I've read more books than I ever did in my entire life. I think I went through about 5 or 6 books that I read other than the Bible. And it was like, man, I wish I started to enjoy reading when I was in high school. I think I would be a lot smarter today. And, you know, in life, in my life growing up through my teenagers and my 20s and my 30s, I have more regrets of the things that I did than the things that I didn't do. I have more regrets of the things I did because I was a knucklehead. I mean, I have regrets of getting behind the wheel and driving after drinking, almost killing my best friend, almost killing myself, smashing up cars. I have more regrets fighting and broken relationships than the one. I think one of the regrets that I have of something that I wish I had done was really coming to walk with the Lord earlier in life. But God had a plan, and He used those years where I was so far off course, in fact, actually going in the opposite direction. But He uses those things to help me help others. And, you know, it's in my lifetime of 52 years, you know, there was bad decisions, there was good decisions, there was regrets. And even after I came to walk with the Lord from 37, I really took this relationship with God seriously. And even during those times, there were still some regrets of decisions that I made, but not as much as when I went astray. And when I made the choices to drink or take drugs and stuff like that, those things I do regret. And, you know, when some people say when we come to the end of our life, if we have any regrets, it will usually be because of things that we didn't do, not the things we did. Yeah? Like for me, when I decided to drink and drive 30 years ago, man, I regret that I didn't find a designated driver, or I regret not waiting. I should have waited till we got to the fishing spot, then drink. Not drink before we get to the fishing spot and crack up along the way and end up in the hospital and all your fishing poles are broken. Your car keys are gone. I lost my glasses. I couldn't see. And I ended up just battered and bruised, like from head to toe. And then I had to go therapy. And even through all that knucklehead decisions, what did I do when I was in therapy and I couldn't go to work? I sat on a bar stool and I drank some more. I just didn't learn my lesson. God was trying to get my attention all those years. But man, I think with us Okinawans, man, we're just so hard-headed. I mean, so hard-headed that when I cracked up, I hit my head on something. And I had a big bruise on my head, but that didn't get my attention. And I regret doing stuff like that. And with every day we make decisions, some things with very little consequences, like, hey, I wonder what color socks I'm going to wear, like Sundays. I wonder if I'm going to wear black boots or brown boots. So those things really no consequences. But what about, you know, when somebody calls us who is in need of help? Somebody is calling you in the middle of the night asking if you can pray for me or can you come over and talk story with me, and we're in bed, it's cold, we don't want to move. And then we don't go, and then the next day we regret not going. Or try maybe the decision to forgive somebody. Do I forgive them or do I not forgive them? You know, it's a decision we got to make and we got to live with. It's like passing somebody on the side of the road and thinking later, oh, I should have picked them up. But you didn't. You know, this year is almost gone. And we may have had some things that we regret about this year. And really, there is nothing you can do about it unless you can do it within the next couple of days. But in light of those things, I believe if we, whether we regret it or not, we need to let that go so that we can move forward. Because we cannot dwell in what will become the past. Amen? In Luke 9:62, but Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking for it, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, you ever tried mowing the grass and looking where you went mow? And then turn around and see where you're going. You end up in the wrong place, or you end up even, it's hard enough to mow straight to begin with when you're looking forward. But if you try to look back and try mow, you're just going to go way off course. And God, Jesus was telling the people, you know, you cannot look back on what maybe the regrets you might have had. You cannot look back and move forward at the same time. It's very hard. Unless you're like mama who got eyes in the back of her head. Man, they can see whatever you're doing. They can see through closed doors. They are smart. You know, looking back at things maybe we should have done but didn't. We shouldn't dwell on regrets, because I believe that will hinder us from moving forward. Looking back at this year, there were times when I was invited to go fishing, but I didn't go because of my priorities. And then they come back and they show me the pictures of all the fish they caught. No regrets. I just tell them that you caught all that fish because I wasn't there. So you had chance. Not even, yeah? Yet there were times when, you know, I did accept the invitation to go fishing. And we went fishing with a bunch of guys who just drank. I mean, Jaywin and I were helping them load and unload the beer. You know, just because we went fishing with them and we was helping them. No regrets, but we got to share the love of Christ with them, even though we didn't catch a thing. You know, as I grow in the Lord, and I hope you grow too, I hope as you mature, you find that when you go through life, you have less and less regrets, because when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, man, you go and you say, yes, Lord, send me, I will go. So that the next morning when you wake up, it's like, wow, I did what I needed to do. There was no regrets. As I become more obedient to God, I find myself again having less regrets and more fulfillment. So here it is. It's already filled in on your outline. That's a Christmas present from me to you. Hey, forget the regrets. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. See, many people are sorry only for the effects of their sins or for being caught. In the original Greek, sorrow without repentance literally means sorrow of the world. And when people do not channel their grief over their behavior into a life-changing action, man, that's unproductive grief. Like when I was 37, I was sorry and I was grieving because of the way my life was. My life was an upside-down mess. It was terrible. There was no order. There was confusion. There was chaos. There was anger. There was just, it's just totally messed up. And that grief caused me to do something different. Yeah? You know, the worldly grief, it just leads to self-pity, having a pity party, if you've ever been there. But the godly sorrow is practical and action-oriented. See, when I was down in the dumps at the lowest point, it caused something in me to say, you know what? I am sick and tired of living like this. I am sick and tired of waking up every morning finding my wallet empty because I spent all my money on booze and drugs. I was sick and tired of waking up with a headache and a dry mouth and just in pain and sometimes throwing up in the bathroom, your head spinning. I was sick and tired of it. And I realized that, man, something was wrong. And I regret it. So that what did I do? I got up one Sunday morning. I got dressed. And I decided to go with my wife to church. And I think she was shocked. She was like she had to double take. And like, what? Really? And it was for real. And only God can save people from the way that sin imprisons us and paralyzes us. Only God can help us turn away from sin and seek salvation. See, people can give you the scriptures, but it is God and the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to really move you to repent. Amen? Matthew 27, 3-5. This is Judas. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he'd been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? This is the religious leaders. See to that yourself. And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed and went away and hanged himself. Judas, he was filled with regret at having betrayed Jesus. He went back to the priest and, you know, tried to do right. Jesus had been condemned to die, and Judas realized his sin, but it was too late. The religious leaders had Jesus where they wanted him. And they replied to Judas, what do we care? What kind of response from the leadership was that? You know, the priests, their job was to teach people about God and act as intercessors for them, helping them turn from sin and find forgiveness. You know, Judas returned to the priest, telling them, wow, man, I have sinned. I betrayed innocent blood. And rather than helping him to find forgiveness, these priests didn't care. At that, Judas threw the money into the floor of the temple, and then he hanged himself. I mean, could you imagine if you came to me with your problems and I told you, go figure it out? That'd be terrible, yeah? But that's what they did to him. They didn't help him find his way back. But look at Luke 22:61. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. Peter went and he went out and wept bitterly. Peter left the courtyard crying bitterly. His tears were not only because he realized that he had denied his Lord, the Messiah, but also that he had turned away from his friend, a person who had loved him and taught him for 3 years. Peter said, if you recall, he said, Jesus, I'd go to prison for you. I would die for you. Fortunately, the story does not end there. Peter's tears of sorrow and repentance, and later Peter would reaffirm his love for Jesus. Jesus would forgive him. The difference between the two, Peter and Judas, Peter repented. He moved forward. He did. If you read Acts, you would see the before Peter and the after Peter. It's a wonderful transformation. But the difference between them two, Peter repented, moved forward. Judas regretted, and he took his life. I mean, you can have regrets. It's not wrong. I think we all have some. But leave them back there. Don't dwell on it like Judas did. He dwelt on his regret and he took his life. Peter, he left his regret and he moved forward. He repented and he was like a wonderful, wonderful. He was bold afterwards and he did a wonderful thing. How can I make decisions that, you know, how can you, now that you're here, how can you make better decisions that you won't like, oh, man, I wish I did that. I wish I've done that. How can you live with no regrets? I don't think that's possible, but you can live with less regrets, and you can live without dwelling on your regrets. Amen? 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Paul's race was finished, or at least it was like coming to the end. The end was clearly in sight. And it is important to know that Paul made no claim of having won the race, but he was content with having finished it. You know, if you ever ran a marathon, the exhilaration of finishing the grueling race, I mean, I never ran a marathon, and I don't desire to. Because just 1 mile, I actually got on the treadmill last week, and I ran for 20 minutes, and I think I only went a half a mile. I could do 2 miles in 20 minutes 2 years ago. I don't know what happened. But, you know, finishing the race, completing it is a significant accomplishment. I have remained faithful, Paul said. It was meaning that, man, he guarded and he preserved the gospel message. He didn't water it down. He didn't make it different just to please people. He kept it. He kept the message. And Paul called Timothy to guard what God was entrusting to him. Paul remained faithful to the message that had been given to him. This had been entrusted to Timothy now. And Paul, he never wavered from his faith. And he trusted that soon he would experience all the promise which had been based, his life was based on in his ministry. You know, I'm not saying that each of us, we would live a safe life on the sidelines so that we would make no mistakes. I tell you what, if there's a game going on and you're on the bench, man, you cannot make no errors, right? It's like it's a safe place. But I don't think God calls us to sit on the sidelines so that we can have no regrets of a mistake made. Man, if you're on a sideline, then you're going to have regret of not getting into the game. Amen? If we choose to live life like that and not living, going through life without making mistakes, and maybe we are not even trying. If you haven't made any mistakes lately, try to look at your life if you are really trying to do God's work. Then we'll end up say, if only I tried this. If only I opened up my Bible 5 years ago and started doing my devotions, where would I be today? Don't have that regret. The cure for regret is to live well today. We cannot control the past. I cannot control my attitude. Well, the only thing I can control is my attitude for today. In all that we do, let's think things through. Will I regret doing this? Or will I regret not doing this? You know, you may be driving down the road and see someone with a flat and just drive by and later on regret not stopping. Or seeing a homeless person and not regret buying them a meal. I told you a couple weeks ago when I put in gas for a carload of people. And when Pastor Aaron started to tell that story, I started to sweat, thinking that I might have accomplished a crime. But good thing he was joking. But even if it only cost me $15 of gas, man, I live with no regrets. But if I didn't do it, I would have been thinking, what if I should have done it? I wonder if I should have done that. But if I erred on the side of obedience, not disobedience. Sometimes making decisions is a tough thing. You know, like 20 years ago, if you would have asked me on the spot to make a decision on something important, I would have said, I don't know. I cannot do it. I was incapable of making important decisions because my life was so wishy-washy and there was no foundation. And as I learned through all the jobs that I had, I have learned that I need to make decisions, whether I would regret it or not. Because I think when we don't make a decision, there's automatically regrets right there. But I have learned that my indecision was costing other people money and other things. And God was preparing me with all the jobs that I had, was preparing me for ministry. So as you begin each day, when you wake up, think how you can live in such a way that at the end of the day, when you put your head down on that pillow and you go to sleep, you can say, wow, man, what a good day. I have no regrets. Yesterday for me was a good day. I got up. I came to men's ministry, got here at 4:35 in the morning, got the food already, got the place prepared. I went to my office after that. I went home, hopped in the car, took my wife to town. I dropped her off at Ross because she loves to go there. Right? I did my duty. Then I went around the corner to the Sears parts place. I got my parts to fix my lawnmower. I picked my wife up. I dropped her off at the mall. I went to Home Depot to walk around so that she can shop uninterrupted. Because you know when I go shopping with her, it's like, are we done yet? Are we done yet? Can we go? Are you finished? Let's go already. So I let her have her hour, and then we went home. We ate lunch. I fixed the lawnmower. I started to cut the grass, but it rained. So I said, well, God, I guess I can't cut the grass. So then I fixed my truck. I cleaned my patio. Then I cooked for today. And then when I went to sleep last night at about 9, I was like, wow, what a good day, God. Thank you. No regrets. I did what I thought I needed to do. And there was no regrets. So as you begin your day, like each one of you here this morning, when you leave here, when you get up tomorrow morning, when you go to sleep, I guarantee you none of you are going to say like, wow, I regret going to church today. Pastor was lousy. Even if I was lousy, God can speak through a lousy message because the word of God is active. It's alive. Amen? It's not the preacher. It's the message. Yeah? So what do we do? How do we go through life having less regrets? Number 3, pray for guidance. Man, how many of you need guidance? Yeah, the rest of you stay after church. Have some lessons for you. Psalms 31:3, you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. What are your decisions or choices led by? What would cause you to make these choices? Is it because of what I want? Is that leading your choices? Is it what's best for my family? Is it what's best for the team? This past year, we played softball. And we had a great time. We played volleyball. Again, this is the second year in a row we won our trophy for New Hope East Hawaii. I mean, I do like to play softball and volleyball. But in the best interest of the team, no regrets. I sit on the bench. And I let the other guys play because I have so much joy in watching them play. No regrets there. I mean, they try to put me in. But when we played this summer, my shoulder was so sore. And this is the deal. I would not play on the infield because if they hit the ball to me, I will get out of the way. I will not block the ball with my body like Johnny. Johnny steps and he blocks the ball with his body and you hear the ball. You know how it hits skin and then it gets a slapping noise? And I was like, ooh, that's going to hurt. So I do not play on the infield. So they put me in the outfield. But my shoulder was so sore, I had to throw like this. Because it just couldn't go. So I had to throw. Really, Buster looked pretty bad, me trying to throw like that. I couldn't imagine. I'm glad that they didn't put a video up there. Yeah. And, you know, what are your decisions based on? What I want? What my family wants? What God's want? What God wants me to do? What is best for the team? You know, Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give you strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. If you are not purposely following the Lord, then you have to ask yourself this question. Who am I following? When you can be led by God, the regrets in life seem to get less and less. And not that you are not going to have challenges or not make mistakes, but you'll not have that kind of regrets where you say, I should have done this or gone there. The more you connect with God, spend time with Him, the better decisions you will make. And at the end of your day, man, what would you pay to have peace at the end of the day, knowing that you did what you needed to do? when you get to know God, get to know what He likes and dislikes, you would be more in tune of living a life with less regrets. So 2015 is just about done. If you had some regrets, let it go. If you can fix it, if it's like a forgiveness thing and you can fix it before the end of the year, go fix it. Clean it all off. Move into 2016 new, clean. Don't carry baggage from this past year along. You ever try to carry baggage and run around? Man, it's not easy. It's just an extra weight. If you can dump it off so you can start going clean, fresh, fast, do that this year. I want us to live a life led by the Spirit so that we would have less things like, oh, I wish I did. I wish I'd done that. Some of you, maybe you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Would you want to stand before God one day saying like, oh, Lord, I wish I accepted you. Kind of too late now. Or maybe somebody who's dying that you need to go share the good news. You ever shared with somebody Jesus Christ? They accepted Him and then they died. Oh, that is a good feeling. Not that they died, but because you did what you needed to do and you don't have any regrets. Amen. You can put away your notes. I would ask the worship team to come up. I'd ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you need to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior so that you have no regrets, you know, asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior is saying that I want help with my life. I need Jesus to guide me and to lead me. I need forgiveness of sins so that I can have eternal life with Jesus. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? All right. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for each one here, that they would hear your voice, that you would lead them, and that you would guide them. And Lord, if we have any regrets in the past, that we would let them go, and that we would use those things to help us repent and turn to you. Lord, I pray that as we go forward and as we follow you, that we would have less and less regrets. And Lord, if you are calling us to get out of our comfort zone and to do something greater for you, that we would follow you so that we would not have the regret of, if I did this or I should have done this. So, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that you would work your will in each one of them, that they would be at peace every day when they go to bed and every day when they wake up, knowing that they did what you asked of them. So, Lord, we thank you for this past year, but we now move forward looking for an even better year in 2016. Thank you for the blessings, the miracles, the growth that happened this past year. And Lord, we look forward to growing more next year. We thank you, we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Give the Lord thanks.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship, East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.